Welcome to the last episode of Bachelor Chat here with Beauty the Beast, myself, Scott, and Nicole.
I'm so sad.
Although this probably will not be our last episode.
I have so many ideas for us.
Perfect. And there'll be more drama and more stuff to come up. But
it'll be probably our personal drama, which I'm so stoked for.
Cannot wait. Some news. We're going on the How Could This Be podcast.
I'm so excited.
Featured by Justin Lang. My buddy from back east, we used to coach college basketball against each other for about 4 or 5 years. And his co-host, Maddie, who lives in LA. And I guess she's probably the LA version of you, just living the single life. Probably has so many stories. I was joking.
I think me and her are going to be like besties right away.
Yeah, probably. She probably will come out here and like get drunk at Bevy with us.
Oh my God, yes.
I had a tweet to her. Basically, I like closed a deal, my sales role, and I was just like, oh, if I close about 400 more deals to make 200K, lose 10 pounds,
get a
few more abs, and grow like 4 inches, I might be able to get on Raya. What do you
think? I hate you. And
I guarantee you probably have been on Raya before or been.
I very much have been on Raya.
I didn't know about this until like 2 months ago. She, on her Twitter, had to inform me about what Raya was.
I think we talked about this early on.
Yeah, he just was like, Scott, if you have to ask, you're not good looking. Yeah.
If you don't know what it is, you weren't invited. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I've been on Raya, The League, Bumble, Hinge. Like, I could go on and on, unfortunately.
I'm on all the ones that are free where they don't have to accept you or not.
Oh.
I feel like it's trying to get into college. It's like, well, here's like, you know, the state schools.
You know what's funny? I didn't go to college, but I did get on Raya. So I feel like I've done something right in life.
It's like, all right, here's ASU, U of A. I could easily get into there. Well, that's Harvard. There's no shot me getting into that fucking place.
My gosh.
So Springfield College it is, right in the middle between those two.
What's Tinder then? Jeez, that's community college.
I mean, that's not even a college.
That's Google.
It's Blue Mountain State.
It's Blue Mountain State. I can't wait for our future podcast. It's going to be a good time. But let's dive into our last episode and after the final.
This is going to be a long one. I'm so mentally drained.
Prepare yourselves.
I've made a whole batch of coffee.
Yes, he did.
And
it smells fantastic.
There's just so much to cover. I usually have like a page of notes typed on my computer. I have two. There's so much to go through.
There's
this,
so much to like unpack.
Yeah, we should get into it before everyone starts killing themselves.
I know. Okay, so first things first, let's talk about first thing comes out. I just want to say Matt's brother, I don't know why, but I like him so much.
He looked like...
He's my hero of the day.
He looks like Matt.
He looks like Colin Kaepernick.
Kaepernick.
Kaepernick, Colin whatever. Kaepernick
and Nipsey Hussle.
I don't know who that is.
You know who Nipsey Hussle is?
Scott, is that a sports person? Because
no. It's a rapper that passed away. Like,
okay, even worse. Ago, no, like, I listen to country and pop boy bands.
Google Nipsey.
Nipsey. How do I even spell Nipsey? Like
a nip?
Nips.
Why? Yeah.
Okay, got it. Well, I didn't know if there was
Nipsey
an
Hussle.
E.
Look at him, and like, he kind of looks like him.
I hate you. I knew he was like probably looked like a rapper. I was gonna say Waka Flocka, but honestly, I don't even know what he looks like.
Just making up. Waka Flocka
is a rapper.
No, it is, but you're just making up who he could look like.
Yeah, kind of. Because I was like,
he looks like Zach Brown Band.
Shut up.
See, anyone can do it.
I know what they look like. Oh, I don't have Wi-Fi at your stupid condo. It's fine. No, I saw the grill and I was like, him and Matt could not be more opposites. And I love this contrast here.
Oh, yeah. They're both kind of laid back.
Yeah, his brother was super chill. First of all, I saw a coffee cup, and he had a white glass of wine, and I was like, oh my God, he's my hero. Oh, he does. Okay, yep.
He looks like
Nipsey Hussle.
Like, if he was sitting with Nipsey, he was sitting with Colin, or he'd be like, oh, that's his brother, that's his brother.
That's his cousin, that's his brother. Yeah, they all look like, it's kind of like, you know, how I look like a goddess and a Victoria's Secret model. I'm just kidding.
I mean, I look like Justin Timberlake and Channing Tatum, and
you really do. I did the side by side, and I need to post it on our Instagram. Okay. Anyways, so I love his brother.
Mom goes.
I have a problem with mom.
It would be a long shot if he got engaged.
I literally wrote that down. It would be a long shot for him to be engaged. And I'm like, wow, that's a little negative there, Patty.
She either knows her son really well.
The lesser evil of Barb or the greater evil of Barb?
No, I don't think she's as controlling. I think she knows her son more.
She's just a pessimist, I think, a little bit.
I think she's been
I wonder if she ever dated after Matt's dad personally. I like, you know what I mean? I don't think she's that woman who ever got back on the horse.
I think she tried to raise her kids and obviously raised them really well.
Obviously, they both seem like amazing.
Yeah, I think she probably just, her focus was her kids. And then like, I
appreciate that.
And you know, the times have changed since, you know, 2000, mid 2000s, like Matt graduated, True. Let's call it 2000, like 2008, 2009 from high school or something. She focused so much. Yeah. By that time, she's like, well, I'm past the dating life. You know,
you're never too old, Patty. Get back on the horse.
Nowadays, I think it's a little more.
I hear The Bachelor is casting elderly people. That's all I'm saying. Patty has.
I mean, I would say in about 10, 15 years, there's probably going to be a Bachelor where it's just like 40 plus.
Yeah.
Which would be like old, you know, 40.
I mean, they're casting for it. You see it in the previews after the show. But yeah, she just was a little negative. And I was like, wow, yeah. That's kind of rude to say about your son. But then again, I think my friends probably say it's a long shot for me to ever get married at this point. So I will. It's fair.
Life's so hard for
it's so hard. Yeah. So then we first meet Michelle again, and Mom immediately gets emotional like seeing her. I was like, oh, you just like love her right away, or is this just really tough for you?
Yeah, there's definitely like a glow, a smile about like and the, mm-hmm. the whole family. I mean, John the brother just kind of had like
he's just chilling with his white wine.
Yeah,
I love him.
And obviously they meet and they have their like initial conversation, which you'll see a lot. Mm-hmm. Then John's like, can I take you away for a second, yeah. Michelle?
Can I talk to you for a minute?
Yeah. And he asked a couple of the same questions he did with Rachel. But
they were good questions. I really appreciated them.
I wish, though, whenever people ask these questions on hometowns or whatever, they always say like to the families when he met, you know, what's something stood out about her? They want you to like brag about their kid.
Yeah.
I've been like, what's a red flag?
No, I always ask people. I've literally done it the last like three guys I've dated. I'm like, what is something like your ex would warn me about you? And like, that's a fun question.
It is, because it's not your standard. Like, you can't kind of prep for that. And I'd be like, hey, is there a red flag? Do you see any? Now, granted, in the show, there might not be as many because everything's
supposed to be peachy and rosy.
Yeah. You're just trying to understand people more quick. You know, you're not spending years with them. So,
true.
But I'd be like, hey, what's a red flag? Or hey, what's something I should be warned about her? And granted, all the parents always do that. Like, we got an interview. Which one of your weaknesses? And like, I work too hard. I'm overcommitted.
I'm a perfectionist.
I got to have more work-life balance.
What is your red flag? You have one, I'm sure.
In like multiple? Work life?
Just in general.
I was going to say work.
Dating, especially.
My boss isn't listening. I'd be like, sometimes I just don't want to do shit. I just don't do it.
I think that's all of us. Like, I love my jobs, but like, sometimes I just don't want to do it.
Sometimes, I just go through, I just don't do it.
Sometimes we just need to be lazy and play hooky.
My red flag, there's probably a lot of them.
I love that there's not like just one that sticks out to you. My red flag is I'm an anxious person, and that's a lot to deal with. Boom. Like, are you a jealous person? No, you're too laid back. I feel like your problem is you maybe don't care enough.
Yeah, it could be one. I also, like...
You're too honest. You're like, super brutal.
I do always play, like, devil's advocate a lot. And some people, like, want love. And I'm just like, well, you're an idiot. Like,
you are that person.
That's kind of mean.
Yeah, you're brutally honest. That's like a slight red flag.
It's not even brutal. Sometimes I just, like, play devil's advocate. People are like, well, this. I'm like, well, you know, it's like...
Yeah, I've seen it in action. It's aggressive.
Yeah, so it's annoying, I think, so.
But that's a good question. Ask people, what would your ex warn me about you, and what's your red flags? So they seem to connect really well. Honestly, like, I already knew, like, spoiler alert in 3, 2, 1, I already knew, like, Michelle was not going to be his person. I just felt it. Like, I personally, I loved her so much. I wanted it to be her, though.
And we can get about to the point where he... You know, spoiler, you know, sends her home and, mm-hmm. and what he said. I'll get into like my theory. It's very simple theory, but I think they had a good like conversation. I think the parents, mom clearly loved her, mm-hmm. brother loved her. They seem to be hitting it off. You know, I think they just talk about with those two, it's very just almost looks a little more friends.
It does seem friendly. I think I didn't feel the sexual tension like with him and Rachel. I told you, I called this from like episode 3. Rachel was my top 4.
Yeah. And maybe I'm just noticing it because of the whole Rachel thing, the Chris mm-hmm. Harrison thing. I think this was the first season where like things got spoiled so early.
Yeah.
And like everyone,
there was no saving it.
Usually only like Reality Steve is like, hey, let's block Reality Steve during the season and we're good to go. And then you can watch it and not have any issues. This was just too hard not to. Like, we follow so many accounts that they were just tweeting all this stuff. Normally, people don't want spoilers. this was a random, a weird situation.
And I honestly didn't want like follow any spoilers. That's probably why I wasn't on the Bachelor like chat like at all on Instagram, because I like all we follow is Bachelor people on there.
And there's so many spoilers, and I think it just kind of ruined it. So now I knew it was gonna happen. I'm looking at, I'm just seeing the different ways of playing it. So that's why I thought
how
like
spinning things.
Yeah. And so and then I'm just like, oh, they look more friendly. But if I came out with not like, if I didn't know, I just watched it for the first time tonight, I'd be like, oh, they kind of like, they look like they like each other. I wouldn't know, but I had that, you know,
there's
in
like
my
a
brain.
Missing connection there for sure.
So then Rachel, they go, Rachel's Michelle visit, day. Rachel visits. Mm-hmm. Let me talk about this. The previews made it seem like mom was
upset about somebody.
Crying, upset, like something
like
happened.
A Barb situation. Yeah. Bring her home.
And then mom was just crying over happiness.
She was just tears of joy.
And it was Rachel that made her cry.
I know, of all people.
Yeah, and so Rachel goes.
Because I honestly, and I don't say this often, I felt Rachel's love through the TV. And I have felt it the last couple episodes. But like tonight, I was like, man, she really fell in love. Like it happened for her. It clicked. She fell in love. And mom felt that. But mom was such a negative Nancy, she kind of started ruining things.
I feel, and I don't know if this is true, but obviously this was filmed 10, 12 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So we don't know really.
There's
know,
a lot
how
we
the,
don't know.
They make the season the go their way. The producers do the go the way they think it's gonna go, but then something happens.
Yep.
Every season they update it. I think what happened with Rachel, what happened with Chris, they kind of weed them out a little and they get as much airtime. And there's an Instagram that like keeps track of how much airtime.
Yeah.
And it got to a point where after last episode, we're like, how does he like Rachel? They haven't had any chemistry. Yeah. They haven't had any chemistry. I think they edited a lot of that out.
I think so.
And then you kind of see it like today in today's episode that they actually seemed like they had a good connection. They liked each other. They loved each other. Like they were there. It's better than what they produced. But I don't think they wanted to give Rachel as much airtime. Same thing with Chris. They took a lot of his airtime away. So I think that's why it kind of was like, I can't believe he picks Rachel. But then you see today how much love they have. And when they walked in, he just seemed a lot happier.
He just lit up with her.
He had a bigger smile. Obviously, Brother John takes her away.
Brother John.
Asks the same... His brother John.
I'm going to call him Brother John from now on.
He takes him away, or Rachel away, you know, asking kind of the same question.
I think he asked like...
experience about true love.
Yes.
He's like, have you ever experienced true love? And she kind of said, same thing like Matt said. Like,
I think I thought what I knew. I knew what love was, but I didn't. And now I do.
Yeah. Here's a problem I had. Matt's mom asked Rachel, what made you fall in love with my son? Mm-hmm. And she went like, it was all the little things and the way
he makes me feel. And like,
very generic. I wanted to hear like something like, so when he came out through the mountain, right? And he like, the way he picked me up or did something, or the way we were playing this game and he said this, or I thought it would be like a moment. She's like, oh, it's all these little things, but she didn't like name.
She didn't name, but she basically said it's all the little moments. And then she kind of said like, when I needed him, he was there. And you know, when she was feeling a type of way, like, so it seemed very generic, but you know, they cut those down. I'm sure there was like a whole lot more to that, conversation, but it seemed very like casual.
And then obviously she brought up to her, you know, God and religion. And obviously that resonated with mom. And then mom just started losing it.
Mom was like, wow, she's it. Love her.
Yep.
At least that's what I got the vibes were.
No, she did. And I thought like, oh, she likes Rachel.
Yeah.
And then Rachel leaves. And then they're just the brother, mom, Matt, sitting there. And mom literally looks at him.
And just...
And says,
love's not enough.
Love's not enough. Like, love won't be there. Always be there. Something like that.
So, so negative.
But. What was the exact line that she used?
I don't remember the exact line. I didn't write it down. But it was like, love's not everything. Love's not the end all be all.
Yeah, love's not everything. Well, here's my theory.
Love doesn't, like, something about enduring love. Like,
love is what makes you go over the top to get married.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've talked about this before.
Yep.
You could check a lot of check boxes, a lot of the boxes.
Yep.
I love that body, love that you. If you're not in love with them,
yeah,
you're not going to marry them. And exactly, if you do, it's not good. So that's my problem. So love is, someone said, like building the house, like the love is inside the house, but you need the foundation.
Yep.
But you can't just throw, like,
you can't just throw bricks love, on mud.
Love makes up for a lot, but the reason why you love someone is because of the foundation.
Yeah.
Is because all the things they do to you that make you feel. That's why you love them.
Exactly.
So without one, you can't have the other. But like love, she's like, love's always not going to be there. Like you might feel different ways. You might feel something different.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but if you really love someone, you kind of let go of those other things and you're always, if you still will feel that love.
Yeah.
So like, kind of, she's being very negative. I think, like you brought up pre-show, she's just maybe hurt.
I think mom's still very much hurt from her own past relationships, and I don't think she's someone that ever got back on the horse. And I think, like you said, she focused on her kids, which is fine. My mom's a single mom. She did the same thing. Like, my parents separated when I was young, and my mom's not dated since. People are shocked by that. But she wanted to be a better mom than she wanted to be somebody's girlfriend or somebody else's wife. And I appreciate that, but my mom is so not the negative person when it comes to love. Like, she is such a hopeless romantic. I think that's where I was like, ooh, like, this is... For me, this is hard to watch because, like, you can just see Matt start to crumble and get so disappointed. Like, I even wrote this down, and I want to say this really quick. I don't think his mom was as supportive of Matt as he thought. She seems like a Debbie Downer, and I think in his defense, like, she caused a lot of uncertainty and fear, and that's exactly what we don't want to happen. You know what I mean? Like, how can somebody go forward with a relationship or a proposal not feeling supported and confident in that decision? I think, like, he didn't have that instilled in him with her, and that's what he needed. He needed that validation. Like, yes, love can work. This can be possible. But she took away all hope.
And, you know, I feel bad for Matt because his father didn't really give him...
His dad
didn't help him out, and the mom doesn't help him out. And, you know, the brother was the only one that said, you know, I'll support you with everything. Whatever you do, I'll always be there to support you. You know, whatever you decide to do, I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
And, but like, yeah, you feel bad because you want that validation from your mom, especially when you haven't found, you know, love, or you've never, like he said, he hasn't been in a relationship.
He's never been in love. And it's so hard because you remember Matt when he first came out, he was so bubbly, so happy and excited, and he was ready for love. And like, you just, like, if you played the first episode and the last episode, you would think this man literally walked through hell's fire. Like, he's a different guy.
I mean, I feel like I did. I feel like I'm going bald after this season.
You were already. No, I'm just kidding. But no, it's just like he feels so insecure now and confused. And I just don't know why families do this. They plant these horrible seeds that grow and they fester. And again, like, how can you do this without having solid base? Like, how can you do this without having solid foundation and like friends that support you? Like, he has great friends, but like your family, it's different. That's a different kind of level of trust and support that you need.
So that puts a lot of doubt in his mind, which leads to him and Chris having a conversation on the curb. And I'll say this, college, post-college, you know, your friends, no better conversations, truer conversations
happen than on the curb. I agree with that.
I just, like, you're sitting at a curb late night waiting for your buddies to come out, or maybe someone's like girlfriend or something broke up with them.
Chilling at a party and you're on the curb. She's upset
and you're outside in Boston or in a city waiting for the Uber, whatever. You're sitting on the curb. Call it, no better conversations. Like, the realest conversations happen. And they could be anywhere from relationship dating advice to personal therapy to just like
God, dumb, religion, the universe.
Dumb guy conversations of, hey, would you rather do this or this? Like those dumb.
Would you rather fight a lion or
a like zebra? Do you think you could fight one horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses?
Insane.
You know, like that. Those are conversations that like guys have. Like, this would be stupid. Definitely. On the curb, and you really find out about a lot of people.
You
do. Curb talks are the best.
Curb talks, and I will say, like, just for me, it's like late night talks where you like park your car with somebody, and you're just sitting there, like in a parking garage or like a parking lot, and you're just sitting there talking in your car.
Yeah.
That's where all my best conversations happened.
I watched it at a friend's house. We went to another friend's house to watch it tonight. The same group, but there's a lot more. My friend Annie said that the next, after the Bachelor's, we should have curbside chats with Scott. And you just like your therapy. But to the parking garage, I have a question for you. This is off topic. What the hell is up with girls doing photo shoots in cement parking garages. They're so unattractive. Girls, all they do is they cement parking either on the top or what.
Cement
is so ugly.
It's a vibe, you know? Like, it's a mood. Like,
one girl did it on, like, TikTok, and now, like, yes, everyone's got to do it.
Exactly. I think, oh God, I know. I speak for females. We're all a little basic, but, you know, the parking garage, it's good lighting, though. Like, I will say, the lighting in there is fantastic. I've done several. You know what? I want to point out, I did a parking garage shoot when I was Miss Arizona before that shit was cool, back in 2018. I have photos to prove it.
Yeah, I want to say recently, I might have been a trendsetter. I was like thinking this the other, like this was like a thought of mine like 2 months ago. All these girls are just taking photo shoots in garages, like cement garages. Yeah. I just didn't get it. So
I'm personally like terrified of parking garages, but not in the middle of the day. You know, just at night and like early mornings when you're alone. But now we're just doing photo shoots in there because the aesthetics.
But sorry, off topic. Off topics. But Chris and Matt have the conversation, and basically the mom is making him second guess. Is he ready for a proposal? Should he propose?
I mean, she straight up said like he's not gonna, like I don't see him getting engaged, and I'm like, wow, like not with that attitude. Why? Yeah. Like if my family said that shit to me, I'd question everything too. So thanks a lot, Patty.
And then Matt goes and has a conversation, or not conversation, a date with Michelle.
Yeah, he goes and has their date with Michelle. They go.
Can we talk about something?
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
His jeans were so too skinny. I knew like, you were going to say it. They look like shoes weren't spandex. He was wearing like yoga pants, basically. That looked like jeans.
You know what? He is proud of his legs, and I support that confidence. He doesn't have a lot because of his mom and, you know, her belief that he's not getting engaged. But he's confident in his legs and his skinny jeans.
No, good for him. Like, he pulled off. I could never pull it off.
And his turtlenecks and his bright colored sweats.
But as a good friend of his, and I'm not a friend of his at all, but if I was a good friend, I would be making fun of him too. Because that's what I do. I make fun of my friends that are all
he would look great
taller, better looking, bigger than me. Because I got to bring them back down to reality. Yeah. I got to make them feel ugly once in a while. Some of my good-looking friends, they're up here. They need to be bumped down to my level a little bit.
It's like a good friendship humbling, you know?
Oh, yeah. I'm sometimes too mean, so I got to stop. Yeah. But I would tell Madison right here, like, dude, what's up with the jeans,
man? What's up with the jeans,
Well, I can pull it off. Yeah, I know, but I'm still going to make fun of you for them. So.
What's up, brother? And why are you wearing your jeans so tight? Well, then,
yeah, they go...
they go rappelling down the side of a building, which I love these adventurous dates. Like, I'm like... Throw me down the side of a building. Throw me away. I don't care. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, Matt. Like, he just straight up leans back, almost dies. And the dude's like, bro, don't do that. Straighten your legs. Like, whatever. And then he's encouraging Michelle to do the same thing. And then he almost dies in the process of helping her. Which I'm like, can we just not add this extra bit of fear at the end of this episode? Like, we've had enough tumultuous, like, tribulation. Like, I'm good.
Yep.
But...
It was there's only so much you could do during this COVID and make it up.
So limited.
Yeah, so limited. So
therefore, death-defying stunts. Duh.
Yeah.
That's our only option, apparently.
And then they go back to
like the hotel. Yeah,
maybe like Michelle's suite or something. Yeah. And she does a great gift. She's a former college basketball player. They get him jerseys. After that.
She got him a Mrs. James and a Mr. James jersey.
Yeah.
Right after
he's like, oh, man, this is going to be
tough. I got to break your heart.
So, yeah, I'm going to break your heart. Basically says he is not ready for an engagement with her. He doesn't see to get there. And here's when I said at the beginning, I had a theory about this.
Yep.
Again, I think she checked a lot of the boxes. Mm-hmm, I don't think he was... I don't know if it was physically attracted, but he didn't have that physical attraction to her. And he didn't, like, love her. And he didn't want to keep her on. She's more of a vibe. Like, she's more of a, like, a friend vibe, like I was saying.
Yeah.
The other thing is, and we don't know this, but maybe their conversation, like, when they had the one-on-one, like, she loves being a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, it might have been a big conversation where it's like, hey, I love my students. I can't move away from my students. And Matt's like, listen, I ain't living in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Edina or Edna, whatever it's called, Minnesota.
Little tiny town.
Yeah, like, and who knows? It could be a big town for all I know. It could be a city. But I'd be like, he could be like, I'm not moving to Minnesota. I'm staying in New York, so you should try to get a job here. Yeah. She's like, I don't want to live in New York. So that obviously could be a big factor. Of, like, maybe turned him off, like, I don't see myself living there.
Yeah.
And then all the other things now became, I can't propose to a girl if we're not going to be agreeing to.
I mean, that's definitely live. Guys are very logistical, and I definitely think sometimes they pick girls out of convenience. No offense, but y'all be doing it on the regular. And so I think he was mentally attracted to her. I think he was physically attracted to her, but emotionally, like, there was definitely like a non-factor, non-starter for him. And he clearly felt it with Rachel. And then, yeah, he just breaks her heart, and Michelle crying is the worst thing I've ever seen. It hurt me so bad. Like, I wanted to hug her, you know, and it's that conversation. Like, I've had this with every person I've broken up with and been broken up with. It's the uncertainty, and it's the fear that we all have in something we don't want to happen. And I just got to say this, guys, be freaking honest. Like, he was honest, but I'm asking more guys to be honest. He's like, I just don't see myself getting there with you.
Well, she said she wanted like closure, this whole thing about closure again.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no win for a guy in this situation, right? Because obviously he's got to give her, like, that's a different situation, like dating someone for a little bit, because one, you're on TV and everything. But it's like, I was sitting there with a bunch of girls, and he was just like, I don't see us getting there. Mm-hmm. And they were like, ooh, why? Oh, like, oh, you should have said. It's like, no, he was just honest. Like,
no, he was honest.
You want guys to be closure and be honest. They're honest. And it's like, well, we didn't want that. No, it's because it's not the answer that the girl wanted. It's not the answer
you're looking for. I knew you were going to talk about this.
Girls want to hear, any guy that's listened to this, girls want to hear
a reason,
closure, and they want to make sure it's not them that's the reason why they broke up, right?
Right.
They want to make sure it's me. I'm focused on myself. But in this, he can't say, oh, I got to focus on myself because there's another girl involved.
There's another woman involved and everybody knows it. Yeah. I think he was honest. He's like, I like you. I think you're great. I just don't see myself marrying you. Like, I think that's most guys' reasons. Like, when a guy breaks up with me, I am just like, he didn't see himself marrying me. He didn't see me as the mother of his kids. Like, he didn't see this, whatever. He just didn't see it. For whatever reason, he didn't see it. And you will never know. And I even wrote this down, like, he can't get there with her, and it is what it is. You can't make somebody feel something for you when they don't. There is a literal song about this. I can't make you love me if you don't. And she can't make him love her. And as much as we all wanted it.
And it sucks that, like, have someone tell you you're not good enough for them. It's like the worst feeling.
It's not saying you're not good enough. It's just saying, like, yeah, you are great. It's not for me though. You're not my unicorn. Yeah, but at the end of the day,
it's still like, you're not like,
it's not that you're not good enough or you're inadequate. No, it's just
someone always loves someone more, and someone always likes, is dating out of their league. Like, they believe that someone always
loves. My friend, family friend, my state director, like, she's known me 11 years. She made a really great point with my last relationship when we broke up. And because I was struggling with it. I mean, it was one of my easier breakups because I was able to just cut him off, let it go, block him, delete, control, alt, delete, all of it. But I was like, I hate that I'm still not enough. And like, I hate that like I wasn't good enough for him. That was one of my anxieties with him. But she goes, it's not that you weren't good enough. She's like, you just weren't what he was looking for. It's plain and simple. Like, you're not his version of a unicorn. That's all it is. So ladies, if someone breaks up with you and you want a better answer, you're just not his unicorn. You're not his version of what a unicorn is. So it's not that you're not enough. You mean lobster? No, unicorn. Lobster as well. I'm a big Friends fan. You are not what he thinks of when he thinks of a lobster. And that's not on you. That doesn't mean you're inadequate. It doesn't mean that you're not enough. It just means that, like, what you have to offer doesn't match what he is looking for.
Yeah, and especially even sometimes it's just at that given time.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that a lot of people look at relationships and be like, let's say, I'm just using you as an example. You're like, oh, this guy is not, like, he doesn't, like, he's not there for me. But how many guys are like,
jumping at the bit to be there for me.
Yeah, and then you are just like, oh, no.
Definitely ignoring them.
Like, forever, like, one or two guys, like, I always say it's like with girls, and I just think women naturally are just more attractive looking people. They're better. They keep up. They're
we have just, the fun stuff.
Guys were just gross human beings.
Like, you guys are hairy. This. You sweat. Yeah,
they're just like, we do some dumb shit, right? And so I was like, usually, for the most part, if you riled up all the women in the world and all the men, like, and you rank them, like, you know, beautiful, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, there'd be a lot more attractive men. So, like, a 6 usually dates, like, a 7. So, men are usually dating out of their league, like, looks-wise. So, but there's always, like, girls, like, oh, I'm not good enough for him or this. But then they, like, pass up, like, 900 good guys. And I'm like, it's a good dude. Like, he seems good. Oh, he's not for me. Well, he's doing this. The guy that you
he's doing are mad about
that he's not, that you're not dating because he's you don't think you're good enough or he doesn't think you're good enough, you're doing that to like six other guys behind you.
Yeah.
So like you can't like have
we're
it
guilty.
Both ways.
We're all guilty of it. We are. We all, again, we all want our own version of what a unicorn is.
So he breaks up with her.
He breaks up with her. I'm hurt for her. I think everyone is. But Matt is also so distraught when he left her room. Like the way he left and then he goes and he sits down and he's like hurting. Like it's hard to see. He came into this with so much hope for love and it's just unfair how it unraveled in what seems like a matter of hours. And I just, he doesn't even go on his date with Rachel after this.
Yeah. I think he views her as like such a good friend too that mm-hmm. You never have like a friend, I shouldn't say you ever, but like you have a friend.
Yeah,
that,
friends I want to maybe get engaged to all the time.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah. But you have like, there's a friend that you, or you heard stories of that you hooked up with, or a friend have hooked up with their friend, and it like ruins a relationship. And they, because one can just feel, that's basically what happened is like, Matt's like, man, this girl would be awesome.
You
my friend,
literally speaking
she'd be a
my
cool
life.
Friend to have. Like, she's an awesome, good, she has no bad yeah. bone in her body, she doesn't have any. Like flaws.
Were you in my DMs last night reading my messages? I'm scared.
She literally has no flaws, and it's like he knows he's breaking up
with a great person.
I think that's what overwhelmed him. And he knows that she thinks she's not going to be good enough, and he doesn't want that feeling. I think that's what made him so emotional. And then he doesn't, you know, have the date with Rachel. Rachel's yeah. probably like,
she's going crazy. Like I'd
be sitting there like, you're the whole day. They're like, whoa, is he marrying Michelle? He's picking Michelle. Like,
exactly
what the heck
what
is
I
going on
like,
with me?
I was like wondering where her mind went. I was very curious when she was walking around her room. I'm like, what would I be thinking if this was me? I would be like, oh my God, like he's going to break up with me. Like he basically doesn't want to. And she's like, I don't know why he doesn't want to see me. I don't know what's going on. And oh God, he just left her in the dark for a whole ass day.
While he was picking out a ring still.
Okay. I literally was like, he doesn't go on the date with Rachel, which is absolutely crazy. But then he goes and picks out a ring. This made no sense to me how this went. But regardless, you could tell he was very tense and stressed picking out a ring. But he still was like, I'm going to take this. Yep. And Neil's like, yeah, sure, man. Go for it. Like, take it.
And then then Rachel meets him. She has no idea what's going on. She's
like,
she probably thinks she's getting.
He's like, I have something to tell you. He's got a ring. He's in a tux. What is happening? I wasn't sure. Like, is he going to get engaged? Is he not going to get engaged?
I said this. We paused it at the house. I said, it started out like Rachel. Rachel's brain probably went like this. Oh man, I'm getting broken up with. Like, mm-hmm. This
mentally
sucks.
Prepared.
Like, yeah, just go mentally prepare. Then he goes and says all these nice things, mm-hmm. and you're like, okay, maybe he's picking me. Maybe he's picking. And then it's
and
like,
then goes,
and then he goes like, I can't see us getting engaged. Like, I can't see this. Then she's
so
like,
up and down.
So down, and she's probably like, oh.
It's such a roller coaster.
But I do want to spend time with you. Like,
I
want to
leave here with you.
Monitor on her, because it would have been like,
it would have
been she would have flatlined then. And then flatlined. Like, that's what it would have been.
This coffee is kicking in for you.
Nah, I know.
No, I felt that too. I was like, this is the most up and down, like, roller coaster of emotions, like, proposal, non-proposal I've ever. I want to leave paradise with you, basically. But, like, you know, I want you to be the mother of my kids. I want to marry you one day, but I can't propose to you.
I thought, like, I was like, oh, my God, maybe there's a twist that didn't get leaked. Like, he doesn't engage
He doesn't leave with anybody.
Yeah, and I was like,
yo,
oh, man,
I thought so, too.
This is crazy. So that's what I thought was going on.
That's
like,
what
hey.
I thought.
And I was like, oh, man, this is
I
a
was
twist
not
that
well.
We thought was Rachel, and he basically just can't get engaged to anyone.
Because he's so disturbed.
Yeah, and so I was like, oh, man, but
But then he is like, yeah, let's leave together. Picks her up, carries her to the white horse carriage, and they ride off into sunset.
Yep. And then we go to the After the Rose, which this is, I mean, we're already like 30 minutes in, and this is going to be the longest
episode. We haven't
even
tapped into anything else.
Yeah, this is going to be the longest episode ever. Acho has, Manny Acho, which I like. I like the guy. He's good. I like him on like
I didn't know
Fox
who he
Sports
was.
Or ESPN. I forget whatever sports channel I watch these on, but I think he's very good. At what he does. So I wasn't too upset about him. I thought just overall with him, I felt like he was trying to make it serious because like he's so comfortable talking about sports that it's just easier it flows.
Super
I thought he was trying to be
element.
Like serious and stuff. And it came off more of, and I know him in the sports, so he's a lot more, it comes more fluid. This was more like, almost like choppy.
It felt choppy.
Yeah. But I don't think he said anything bad.
No, it wasn't bad.
Just practice or something.
It's his first time. Yeah. And here's the thing. It's his first time. He walks in. I like his energy already. I think he's probably going to be a great host. The man is dressed very well. His arms are spectacular. If he wanted to
throw me. He's like too big for that suit.
My mom said that, and I was like,
but
yeah.
But it's like, but if he gets a bigger suit, then it looks too baggy, and he might look like fat.
And we're not showing off like his beautiful physique, and I was like, look at those arms.
He's wearing a turtleneck. I don't know.
What is with turtlenecks?
I know, people
and these
love
guys
it.
This year. Everyone, like, the last couple years is in turtlenecks.
Yeah, even, like, Tayshia season, I feel like a lot of people wore turtlenecks.
It's like a fad. Yeah. It's whatever. It's like the parking garages with girls. But I really liked his energy, but you could tell, like, he immediately had, like, a sportscaster tone and voice to him. And yeah. I was like, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
And, like, Michelle walking up, it's, like, very weird because normally what we're used to seeing is there's that camaraderie and there's that friendship that everybody has with Chris Harrison. So when they walk back up, like, Chris has been there with them for the past 3 months.
I thought it was awkward when you don't have a crowd.
You don't have a crowd. No
cheers.
You use
a crowd, so people are clapping for her. Like
no ahs, no oohs.
It gives you like
confidence.
Yeah, like ooh, okay. So they walk up. It's just dead silence.
It's awkward.
And then they have a conversation, and she's like, "I wanted a closure."
I knew you were gonna have something to say about
dumbass closure. Like he gave it to you. Just it wasn't like the answer you were looking for. But then she did say that she wanted to have a conversation with Matt and wanted closure, and he refused to have one.
Yeah, I thought so, that like, was that's interesting.
So I don't know how that. So depending on how that conversation went, did she, after he left like 5 minutes later, was like, "I want to have a talk with him," and he was just like, "No, I don't want to talk," because he was too emotional. But at the end of the day, he did tell you like he couldn't get there. Like, what more do you want from the guy to have like closure? And again, that's the whole like, oh, we need closure thing that I can't stand.
I wonder, I think it might have been probably after he was engaged, and then at that point he's engaged, he probably didn't want to disrespect Rachel by having another conversation with Michelle when it's like, I definitely have broken up with you. I told you I couldn't see myself there. Like, and here's what her version of closure was. She wanted to say her feelings. She wanted to say how upset and how hurt she was, and that's all. Because immediately, so is it Emmanuel? Emmanuel Acho. Okay. I'm not sure how anyone pronounces anything anymore because I've been very wrong about a lot. So he comes out and he's like, you know, you're going to see Matt. You haven't seen him since this. You're going to get that closure. And she literally, like, he sits down. She goes, how are you? And I'm like, that's how we're starting. I mean, I love the politeness. And he goes, yeah, it's been rough. I don't know if you've seen the headlines.
Well, I want to say, like, I think there's, and let me make this straight when I say closure's bullshit.
It is, but go ahead.
I think there's a fine line between wanting an answer and not getting closure, right? Like, if I was in a relationship for a couple years and a girl just sprung on me like, hey, I'm out. Be like, whoa, what?
You might want closure or answers.
I want, what's going on? But I'm not, the closure conversation I'm having is like, after we've had the conversation, I'm leaving, I'm not in love with you. I give you these like couple reasons. Mm-hmm. I think most people want to have like they want to have like an hour conversation and dissect everything about the relationship.
What went wrong
and everything.
Where can we fix it?
That's the closure. It's like, hey, we were dating for like 2 years and you just like,
upped and left.
You stopped talking to me like, what happened? Like, what's going on? Like, hey, I found someone else. So I'm not in love with you. I can't
out.
Do this. I
realized I wasted our time and I wasn't in love with you anymore.
Yeah, boom. That's it. Like, well, I want to break it down. Like, I think more people like women want to break it down more. You know,
when,
it's just,
when, why, how?
Yeah, and so that's the closure I'm talking about. Not like getting necessarily answers.
I think what she really wanted when she said closure, though, was, like I said, she just wanted to say her piece and speak her mind on it. And it's like, I mean, I even said this, like, I think he owed her that. But here's the thing. Not many people get that anyways. You know what I mean? Like, when you break up, we rarely get closure. We rarely get to have that conversation. And typically, closure happens on your own without that other person.
Yeah.
You don't have to even say your piece to them. I literally just did this myself.
Also, though, it's like, there's also another person. So, like, if he picked Michelle, Rachel's going
to
be the one saying,
I want closure.
Oh,
I
can't. I wasted this whole time. You did this. Like, no, like, he can only pick one person. Yeah. And he's picking the one he feels that he has the strongest connection with. Yep. Like, that's it. Like,
it is what it is.
You aren't, you know, so, and he kind of told her, she just wanted to, I just have that last conversation. I think because it caught her so off guard that maybe she wanted it rather than
thought she was getting,
you know, because if she was at the podium and he didn't propose, she was like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Like, she went, I'm so sorry. And he would walk her to the car. Then she wouldn't have to have closure or whatever. Like,
that wouldn't have happened anyways.
Yeah. So you wouldn't get it anyways. So that's,
well, and also you realize the producers might've had, I want to say, like, we don't know what happens behind the scenes all the time, but I'm sure the producers were also like, yeah, no, like you can say it at the After the Rose. You're going to wait a few months, but you can have your closure in a few months.
And then obviously Matt comes out like you were saying.
He apologizes and like literally just says like, I'm so sorry that I hurt you. And then she literally was like, okay, I can put this down and let it rest. And I'm like, that's all you needed?
One, Matt, I think Acho asked a question. And then she was like, you didn't let me, she's like, you didn't even like want, I thought it was her because I was like, can I just have two more minutes? I thought out of respect to me, like you could give that to me. And you said no. He's like, I'm sorry that it hurt you. And then he started smoozing her over. Like he's very big, like it was like a politician. He was very felt like, which felt very Matt-ish all season was the,
thank just you for saying sharing the right that thing. With me.
Yeah, the saying the right things, always like, almost like a politician, making sure he was
the best bachelor because, and they have a conversation like him and Matt.
Yeah, at the end. But like he didn't really tell answer the question. Answer. He said good things about her. And then she was like, okay, I appreciate that. It's like,
she literally just needed that.
You asked the question, but he didn't answer it. So like, it made no sense to me.
It made no sense to me either. And I mean, it was just one of those, like, she just needed to say her piece. Like, you really hurt me. Like I was crumbling, like I was falling apart. But I'm going to be okay. And, like, gives him a little roast, and then they wrap it up. And I'm
Acho goes, yo, I love this guy. This guy, it gets awkward, and this guy will just throw in.
He just likes to make.
He goes to Michelle, if we remove the anger, do you still love him?
I know. And I'm like, bro, what kind of question is that? No. She goes, I mean, I care for him. And it's like such a, she also gave a politician answer.
We've gone through so much. First off, when you say you're on the show, we've gone through so much. You haven't gone through shit.
You went through 8 weeks. Most of the girls went through 12.
Yeah. Like you also did, like you haven't gone through that much like adversity in a relationship.
Not in that like, short amount of time.
If you got married 2 years later, I'm like, hey, we've gone through so much after the show. I would get that. But like on the show, like it's like you're going on like
dates. You've been in a honeymoon phase for two weeks.
You're competing you've gone through so much because you're competing against girls, but you haven't really gone through like
he was fine.
Adversity and stuff. Yeah,
you haven't experienced like real seasons of life together, and I think that's where I agree with you. Like I get so frustrated, and I'm like, you haven't experienced like someone like a loss. You haven't experienced like, you know, moving. You haven't experienced like any real life activity outside of this little universe that you're living in. So you can't say that you've gone through an interesting experience. I feel like that's fair. We've gone through so much. You made out a couple times. Like, relax.
So, and then Michelle leaves.
And then they talk to Matt.
It's Matt and Acho. And he asks a lot of good questions. But the first one was, they talk about, you know, being the first Black Bachelor. Then they talk about what happened with Rachel's pictures came out. So, first off, I do feel like they had him being the first, you know, Black Bachelor.
Yeah.
I think it was in the back of his mind the entire time. Mm-hmm. You know, trying to represent
the community,
the Black community. It's so different, you know, being a white person. It's like you never think about things like that. No. You never think about like, oh, they're gonna judge.
I'm representing the white community.
Irish Italian kid from Boston, Mass. Right. Like people aren't gonna be like, oh, you're representing all of Boston with this. Like
that's more what it is. Yeah, representing our state. And yeah,
no one does that. Like no one's like, oh, like see, look at Scott fucked up on The Bachelor. Look at all Irish Italians are the worst. Like they don't think that. But if Matt had like and Acho said it, like I have to make sure that I may be the only Black person this person sees today. I got to make sure that I represent, which is kind of fucked up to have to go through.
I know. And honestly, it was very, I will say this was the most eye-opening conversation, I think. And it was really necessary. And I appreciate how they went about it. Because it felt like the tone of it was right. And I think like, it really did put it into perspective when you think about it. Like he was like, yeah, like I could be the only person of color this whoever sees today. And I need to make sure I represent myself and my community and make it a good interaction. And I was like, that is such a burden to carry. Like that is really heavy. And
I think Matt was doing it all season.
All season. I think he was.
And I think what cost him, not cost him, because that sounds messed up.
Right.
I think which.
It hindered his experience.
Because he was so focused on what, rather than doing what's best for him, mm-hmm. I think he was worried about what my friends think, what the Black
the
community
role
think,
that
what
is Bachelor Nation. He was representing.
He was trying to, there's a Venn diagram, right?
Yeah.
Of his friends, the Black community, Bachelor Nation, right? Yep. And he was trying to get the middle of the Venn diagram to make everyone happy. These three might not have all intersected, and might not have been possible. So it's tough. I feel really bad for him. They had a good conversation. They brought up Rachel's picture and or Rachel's, you know, the conversation. And he had brought up, you know, after the conversation, we had talked on the phone and I just didn't like her answer. They never really got into what that conversation was
There's
like.
There's so much that we don't know and it's
so it's hard. Tough to make. Yeah, it's tough for me to make a decision. I think this is what the conversation happened.
Yeah.
I think when the picture started surfacing, Matt still like, he called us like, hey, what's going on? And he was kind of like upset, like, hey, this is messed up, man. Like,
I'm concerned about what's being said online.
Yeah, and everything. And she was like, dude, Matt, it's just a picture when I was in college. And
it doesn't mean anything.
It was a party in college, like a fraternity party.
Yeah.
We showed up, we took pictures. Like, it's not that big. He's like, I don't think you understand. And she probably
didn't understand.
I don't know. The flight could have been 5 minutes, could have been an hour long. She just didn't understand it. And I think she said, you know, after that conversation, when I hung up, I then looked back and I was like, you know what? Like, I'm wrong. But in the moment she wasn't, I think that's what kind of set Matt off. But I wish, you know, maybe they just don't want to go into detail about it because
I think everyone's trying to save face right now and not make it worse, because what happened was it was an absolute firestorm online. What happened with Rachel and honestly, a lot of the girls this season, like a lot of controversial things. But Rachel had to be the biggest talk of all the season online leading up to this episode. And I think that what they're trying to do is damage control. They're trying to be considerate of Matt. I told you, I think this is why Chris Harrison, he obviously tried to defend Rachel because he knew him and like that was who Matt picked. I told you, like, I think that's why he was radio silence. I think that's why Matt was quiet and that's why Rachel was quiet, because everyone was trying to like think of like, how do we handle this? This is a terrible PR incident. Like, this is a bad situation and this is worst case scenario. How do we deal with it?
Acho asked Rachel that, you know, what took you so long to come out?
Yeah. And
I don't know if it was a great answer, but I thought it was just like,
I think it was valid. Like, I needed to take time to educate myself.
Yeah. Just not going to come out with and she didn't. Most people come out with like a generic, oh, I'm sorry, I did this.
Right. I will look back and I will be better.
Yeah. Like
but she's like, I'm going to go and educate myself.
It's probably one of the better, most admitted to it and like all this other stuff. And then, of course, Acho brought up and they talked about how, and I thought he was great. Like, I thought he was really good because
he handled this conversation.
He was
so
asking
beautifully.
So many good questions that like the people wanted to know. He said, and there was one thing in my computer.
And it wasn't just the girls. He was asking Matt tough questions too.
Yeah. He was asking everyone tough. And I don't think he was playing a side. I think he was like, hey, these are what people want. Answer it.
He was playing host. And then he did exactly what his job was host and get people the answers that they want.
And he said something, and I might butcher it, but he said, I think what people, and he educated, like, help me understand it. I think there's a difference between, he said it's like.
I know exactly what you're talking
racial
about.
Arrogance,
racial ignorance, racial insensitivity, and racism,
and being racist.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be, you know, racially ignorant because you're just uneducated, you don't know whatever, but that doesn't make you a racist. And he was like saying, "I don't think you are."
Yeah,
but you had a, you know,
you were insensitive and you were ignorant, and so I think it's a very hard conversation. Rachel got hives and her feet were fidgeting. I don't know if you noticed that she was getting red marks all over her chest. So you can tell she's clearly anxious about this. And I felt it in her Instagram apology. Like, she's visibly upset and I think she genuinely feels guilt. I think she is, as a Christian person, I know I carry a lot of guilt with me sometimes, like about things that I've said and done. And it's hard to let go of. So I think she's dealing with that. She's having her conversations and... But Emmanuel, he did a great, fantastic job moving the conversation forward. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't harp on anything, but he was like, and the way he did, he identified it. And he goes, kind of like how I identified bullying with you and what I used to do was like, here's bullying, here's being mean, and here's having a bad day. There's a big difference between the three. But he goes, you were racially like ignorant and you were insensitive. I don't think you are a racist. He's like, but what are you doing to... be better? And she answered her question. She's like, I could tell you all day the books I'm reading, the podcasts I'm listening to, but like, I'd rather just educate myself right now and be a better person, because I think she genuinely wants to win Matt back.
Yeah. And we can get into that when Matt and them come back on when Matt comes back on with Rachel. Mm-hmm.
I learned a lot tonight
from Acho. Cause I just thought, like, I was always just finding lines like, how can you be, like, he's the first person that I've heard say.
Identify,
like, break it down.
Yep. Different levels, different stages.
You can be racially ignorant, insensitive, whatever it is.
that just because you're uneducated, you don't know, you've never been taught, mm-hmm. you didn't take the time,
yeah.
but it doesn't mean you are
a racist.
Yeah, and as the first person to actually like said that, because I think now, and I think it's just in the country we're in right now, it's like if you are that, then you're just labeled it. So yeah. like I think it's very good on him to bridge that gap to like educate people that are
agree with you so much. Like I honestly loved him for this. Like I said, and I don't think Chris Harrison could have had the same conversations and asked the same questions, because I think this guy has he's a genuinely great hearted person, and he wants to see people be better and move forward again. Like, so he asks her, you know, what have you done to educate yourself? And he asked her a really great question. I don't know if you thought like about it, but he's like, what do you think led to this? Like, was it your upbringing? Was it an education? Like, was it this? Was it that? And she was like, I'm not going to blame anybody for my actions. I did what I did. I didn't think about it. I didn't take the time to think about what I was doing. She, I think, was so accountable. And again, it's not for us to decide. It's for the Black and people of color community. But I think she did a great job of being accountable and was like, honestly, I just never thought about it. I didn't. And then he asked her, did you think that this photo was going to be a problem knowing that Matt was Black? And she was like, I didn't even think about it. And that's the definition of ignorance. Like, she didn't think about it. She didn't blame being from Georgia. She's like, it's not because I'm from the South. It's not because I'm from Georgia. It's not because my parents are white. It's not because of this. It's not because of this. It's not because of that. It's just, it's a party. It's always been a thing. People have always gone to it. I didn't question it. I didn't think about it. I taken a moment to think about it, my decisions might have been different.
Yeah. And again, you just go along. I mean, when you're a kid, you just slowly go along with things that happen. Exactly. And then as you get older, you just do that. And mm-hmm. I mean, there's probably like parties in college. Like, you know, you had like CEOs and corporate hoes.
You know, yeah.
Maybe in we all did those parties. It's basically a reason for people to like dress up. Like,
yeah.
And maybe in 10 years calling, you know, obviously not calling girls hoes is not okay. But I shouldn't say, but those parties happened back then. I don't know if they're happening as much as they were. So,
If
I grew up in a town where that was just a place where just everyone, I would just never question, and then you're just like, when you look back, you're like.
There were definitely parties like me, you know, for me in college and growing up, it was like, I wasn't in college, but I went to college parties. But it was like the girls had to wear lingerie to get in for free, like those types of things. Like, they're not okay. Like, they're not, like, looking back, I'm like, I can't believe I participated in it. But I have that experience now, and I can say, like, would I do it again? No. If I had a different mindset, I was 18, 19 years old. Like, you're just like, I just want to go hang out with my friends. Yeah. Like, and I think, again,
you don't ignorance, know any better. Yeah.
You don't know any better.
I think the only parties we had in college was, I think we did that. Yeah, I think it was a reason for, like, guys to just
dress up
in suits.
Be and then silly.
Girls could look, like, sexy. And then we did, like, a highlighter party, which I don't think that's offensive at all.
I don't want to
know what a highlighter party is. If that ever becomes offensive, I don't know.
I don't know what a highlighter party is.
You basically, there's like blue lights or black lights, black lights. And like everyone wears white t-shirt. And then you have a bunch of different color highlighters.
I've done those.
You
draw
stuff on people.
I didn't know that's what that was called. Oh, you draw on people. I've never done that.
You draw on their like white t-shirt.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So you like.
That sounds like a great time.
And it glows because there's the black lights. Yeah.
Well, they have like a white lies party now. Like it's a thing on TikTok where they have white lies parties. So they wear shirts with white lies. Like, I am not going to be the drunkest at this party tonight. I am not going to hook up with two people or whatever. Like, it's like you say like a white lie about yourself because it's something you normally do. Does that make sense? It's like the opposite. It's like, you know, an opposite
date. I'm definitely not going to pound 12 high noons.
I'm definitely not going to call my ex. Like, so, I mean, it is one of those. So Rachel did a really good job. I think Ocho did a great job. And
Ocho.
God, I'm sorry. These names are kind of hard.
Well, Ocho is O-C-H-O. Like,
I think I'm thinking of Ocho from Ocho.
Ocho
with an A. Okay, there we go. New new host. I'm struggling.
Well,
so
let's get into Matt.
So then Matt comes up
stage,
and he did a great job. I think you can tell Rachel looked at him and was like heartbroken, and I feel like she really feels like she just cost herself the love of her life. Like, I felt that, and I was like, my heart's broken for you. Like, I can't imagine what that feels like. There's a lot we don't know. A lot of things behind the scenes, conversations we weren't a part of. But Rachel apologizes, and Matt is dead quiet.
So
there was so much dead air time. It was painful.
What I was going to say about Matt is this is just my thought.
Right.
I had this pre-show. I think he has a lot of pressure on him.
A lot of like.
Again, like the Venn diagram with his friends, Bachelor Nation, the black community. I think he actually likes her still. I think he loves her. I think he wants to be with her.
I agree.
I think that he is not looking out for himself.
Yeah.
He is sitting there going, I think he's processing all these thoughts. And I could be wrong. He could actually just be.
No, I agree with
you. He could be really pissed off at this person and just not want to talk to her.
Yeah.
But I think he actually likes her. And he's going, if I get back to her, Bachelor Nation might hate me. The black, some bachelors might like him.
Yep.
Because there are people that would be like, hey, you forgive, love and forget. People that are like, love and, or forgive.
Forgive and forget.
Forgive and forget.
But then some people are like, nope, once this, always this. Yeah,
or second, you always give people a second chance life. Like, that's all like, there's those people that are like that. But I think the black community, he's going through his head, is they'll never accept me.
Right.
They're going to be pissed. I'm never going to recover. And he's thinking of like the PR image, right?
Yeah.
So I think he's like, she's got to take time on her own. And how much time he's like, she's got to figure it out. I think he's trying to process how long it, like, is it a year? Do we have to wait? Does she have to go? Like, when? I don't think he has an answer because I think he's going to wait until social media, everyone acceptable. Maybe he's on a, she's on a podcast with Rachel Lindsay and everybody's like, we love you. Like, she's great. And we forgive you. And then Matt can get back together with her. So I do think he's processing all that. I also think when it's dead silent, I think he's trying to think, how can I say these words and say this and without make sure that I'm
being a definite
politically correct. I'm not saying I want to get back to her. I'm not saying I'm just basically trying to make everyone happy and you physically can't.
He can't. And I think he like physically couldn't handle it. So yeah, they come back and it's the most dead air time I have ever witnessed on Bachelor. Like, it was very uncomfortable sitting in my living room with mom watching this. I was like, oh my gosh.
And then Acho just be saying,
Acho just like randomly piping up like here and there. And he goes, it can't be any more awkward. And to me, Matt seemed very angry and very hurt deep down and frustrated. Like, that was the feeling I was getting. And he seems checked out, and Rachel wants back in. And then Acho was like, he made a really good question about, is there no way you can forgive her for something she did 3 years ago? He's devil's advocate.
Yeah, he's definitely, that's what the best way, he's playing like devil's advocate. He's saying questions.
So that Matt, like, why can't you forgive her for something she did 3 years ago?
Yeah, can you ever forgive her?
And Matt, first of all, Matt just keeps repeating like, I can't do that. I can't teach her. Like, I can't do the education for her. Like, she has to do it herself. And I'm like, it doesn't seem like she was asking. We don't, again, know the behind the scenes and the conversations they've had. But he just keeps saying, like, I can't, she has to do this on her own. Like, she has to do this education thing on her own. And I'm like, it doesn't seem like that's what they're asking, Matt.
Yeah. The one thing that makes me think maybe he doesn't like her anymore and he is mad at her.
Yeah.
And even though I said, is if he did really like her, I'm going to help her.
I want to help her be a better person. But maybe he sees this as like, it's a sinking ship and I cannot be on board with this, because he did say the feelings I have for you don't go away overnight. And in my mind, I'm like, but you're saying they'll go away eventually. Like,
but they went away overnight with Michelle.
They did go away overnight with Michelle.
But no, it probably was. Here's my thing with the Michelle thing.
Yeah. He just tells her to do the work. And what I'm hearing is like, my feelings for you don't go away overnight. Two things cross my mind. Well, they could go away eventually. Or they don't go away overnight, but I need her to do the work. He like says this, like, I need her to do the work. And I was like, oh, so there's hope, because, you know, I'm a hopeless romantic of a hoe.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, there's hope for us. Like, so he's saying if she does the work, basically she could earn her way back into his good graces. But he also doesn't answer the question.
Yeah. And I just think like, maybe, hey, like, she's struggling. You still like her. You're hoping. Maybe if you like helped her through this process and everything. But there's also the other side of things where it's like, like I said, like, you know, I think a lot of black people have for years have been trying to tell white people, like, or other people that don't understand like where they've come from, like, hey, you educate yourself, this, and everyone's like, oh, don't worry about it, blah, we're fine, like, we're not, you know, racist, we're not but educate yourself. And like, it's to the point where it's just like,
do the black work. People
are like, hey, I'm done. trying to educate you guys. You guys need to go do it yourself because I'm sick of trying to tell you.
Yeah, we've been trying to tell you.
We've been trying to tell you for decades, and you just always push it aside. So you know what? It's not my job now to do it. Our family tried. Our kids are trying. Like, no, you go figure it out yourself. So I get that side of it too.
I think the way and again, I don't know because I'm not in this community. So someone correct me if I'm wrong. I think that they are like, we've tried to have this conversation. You won't listen. And at this point, our hands are tied. Like, we don't want to help you. Like, if you can't help yourself, we don't want to help you. And then, Ocho. Ocho.
God, you're making, I'm going to start pronouncing this wrong because you can't pronounce the name right.
I know.
You're confusing me.
Ocho. So he basically, I can't tell if Matt wants another relationship with her. It's totally on them. I think there's a lot of pressure from social media and he doesn't want to be the bad guy, you know? And I don't know. Ocho goes, do you want to give her a last embrace?
Oh, yeah, because he got so, yeah.
I'm so sorry. I could not. And
Matt no one just says anything. Sat there. Yeah, he just sat there.
He just looked at the ground and just sat there. And I was like, she like really wanted the hug.
I think she wanted a hug. So there's that.
He's just so cold and it was really hard to watch. He didn't say anything. And then I'm like, does he regret this journey? Is he like totally regretting being the bachelor? Like, does he like, I can't believe I did this shit. And like, look at where I'm at now.
I think he's,
I've got this beard. I have no wife.
They're both looking at it. I think Michelle did the same thing. Rachel is, hey, I learned a lot about myself. They're doing that. Like, I'm glad I was on it. Cause I got to learn a lot about myself and learn about what I'm looking for. So it was helpful for me, but
Rachel's speech was like, I'm so glad I met you. Like, I'm so thankful. Like, God, I can't get over how much she loves him.
Yeah.
It's just so sad how everything has turned out. And I hope the best for them both. I would love to see them get back together eventually. I just don't know what it's going to take.
Yeah. I don't know if I was betting, I'd probably say it wouldn't happen, but probably I think they're going to spend, let's say at least a year, right? Maybe like 9 months. But by that time, he might find someone else. There's a lot of other things that could go on.
I genuinely don't think Matt is ready for marriage. Like, based on, I mean, a mom knows her son best. Because let me tell you, my ex's mom be warning me. She knew her dusty, crusty son could not, you know, seriously. But, like, moms know best. And Patty was like, yeah, I don't see him getting engaged. Like, I don't think he's ready. And it's like, I kind of agree with her. At the end of this episode, I was like, I agree.
You're yeah.
Right. I don't think he's ready.
So we get into the surprise that we all probably saw coming. There's going to be two bachelorettes.
What? It's going to be excited.
Katie and Michelle.
Yes. Please.
So from what I heard, Katie's going to go first.
Yep.
Then Michelle. Then they might do Bachelor in Paradise, and then Michelle's going to be the bachelorette. Michelle didn't want to miss time from school. From what I heard,
she loves her students.
Yeah.
Like, she loves her job and her life as a teacher, and I think that's why I'm obsessed with her, because she's a genuinely, like, a hometown girl, like, just loves her life and doesn't really want to change much, but she's like, yeah, I'm down, let's go find love, but, like, let me teach my students and give them their education first, because we love them.
And so, I'm excited for it. I will say this, Katie's season is getting filmed. They're they're going to quarantine for 2 more weeks or 2 weeks, and then they're going to start filming. So that's going to start filming in 2 weeks.
Yep.
It's in Santa Fe, New Mexico, I think. Somewhere in New Mexico.
But it's like a resort.
Yeah, but it's still like,
it's not going to be like Tayshia's season where they were in Palm Springs.
Yeah, but still like Palm Springs is probably nicer than New Mexico.
You'd be surprised. New Mexico, I've been there. Some parts, very scary. Other parts, gorgeous.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm sure they're going to put them up in a nice place.
And then they'll go Bachelor in Paradise to Michelle season. I will say this. I saw Reality Steve post pictures, bios of the guys that some of the guys are going to be on.
Already?
Well, you know what happens. These guys like talk a woman sees I'm going to quarantine. Then it leaks out to everyone, good right? Lord. These
can
guys.
Nothing be a surprise. Some
of
these,
so one of them used to date someone on Ari. He was engaged to someone on Ari season or married. I forget.
Love it.
So then on top of that, like two or three of the guys just look like total douchebags.
To take bets on if I know one of them?
This is my no one's from out here. There's like, it's like Texas, a couple California, like Oregon.
I don't just date people in Arizona. You realize that? I bet you. I feel like, oh my gosh, now I gotta look at Reality
Steve. Well, I'm gonna you go to his Twitter and I will just say this. He like these. My biggest problem with the people on here is, or that go on the show is, I'm looking at your pictures.
if you have like you looking like a model picture, or you're trying to like model and like trying to look cool in these pictures, and it's not just a regular picture of yourself, like I have a problem with that. Like I just think you're not in it for the right reasons. Like one of you is one of the guys is like posing like with his hand through his hair. And it's like he has like 1,000 Instagram followers. And it's like you're trying to, like you're using this to like be cool.
He definitely doesn't want to be famous.
Yeah. And so there's another guy, like some of the pictures just look that people have of him just look like they're just trying too hard. Like, and there's a couple guys that are just like, hey, that's just a regular dude taking some pictures, you know, like, of like, he's not really out there. I think he actually is trying to find it. So that's my, we can get into that another.
Another episode, a follow-up, if you will.
So this is the last episode of the season that we are doing. We'll definitely be bringing weekly podcasts if any drama happens throughout the week with Bachelor Nation, if we hear couples getting together, if Matt somehow starts dating someone else, if we, whatever we hear, we'll have emergency press conferences. They'll be slower. And I guess we're going to be on the How Could This Be podcast on Thursday, which will probably come out Friday. And I guess you have some thoughts about what we should do for the future.
Yes, I do. I'm very excited about our future podcast endeavors because I love Bachelor. So I know we're going to be doing Bachelor in Paradise. We're going to be doing Katie's season and then Michelle's season. And then I'm going to be very curious to find out who our next Bachelor will be after all this, because we're going to have a lot of dudes to pick from.
And we have 3 months before the Katie season starts, so I guess we'll have to start thinking about some topics.
I keep telling
if anyone has any topics, anyone want to come on and have me give you dating advice, I love to do that.
If you want to be single forever, definitely come on and get dating advice from Scott. I'm just kidding. I think Scott's actually a great person to get dating advice from. I'm about to dive deep into some stuff I'm going through now with him because he's like my own personal therapist now, so I appreciate that.
There's also... thanks to everyone for listening to the first season. We had four people from the Netherlands listening. Like
shout
one from
out to
Germany.
Our fans in the Netherlands.
And one from like Great Britain. Please, if you are from, most of the people in the United States that listen, I know, like they're our friends.
Right.
So if you are from Europe, New Zealand, I think a couple of them were from, if you're from there and you're listening, please go at Bachelor Chat. And find us and send us a little message where you're from. How'd you hear about us? Curious to know. Because I really want to know how we got all the way out there. So, and if you are, love that. I will put it this way. If you're from the Netherlands, Germany, New Zealand, somewhere overseas that listens.
Yeah.
You slide into our DMs.
We will respond.
I'll let you come on the podcast.
Wow. Scott's going to have you come on the podcast.
And we'll have like a 5-10 minute conversation. How'd you hear about us? And all this
ask
stuff.
Ask you some thoughts on Bachelor.
How popular is The Bachelor in, you know, Europe where you live? Or do you have to like stream it on ABC?
Are you bootlegging it online?
Yeah. Or are there restrictions like I had in Costa Rica and you just listen to our podcast to give you updates? So.
Yeah. No, I want to hear from our friends from across the world. I think it'd be awesome. And we appreciate you guys following along. This is our first season with Bachelor Chat. We had so much fun. We love you guys. You're the reason we do this. And we're ready for season 2 already.
I can't wait.
All right. Bye-bye, guys.